We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Off the ball again. 504, Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and every day around this time, I'm joined by your award-winning columnist, Daily Manfield, host of the Jeff Calkins Show. It's Jeff Calkins. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
Coach Calkins, please.
Coach Calkins, you are roughly 2 hours away, more or less, from making your debut as an offensive coordinator at the University of Memphis spring game. Dave Woloshin is going to be your defensive coordinator. You're going up against Doc Holliday and Jarvis Greer. I have set the line at Team Holliday Greer minus 2.5.
Wow.
You willing to take yourself as an underdog?
I think the smart money is going to be coming in on Team Greer. I don't know why the spread is not bigger than that. There must be something afoot because I would set the line at 7.5. I think we're at least 7.5-point underdogs. They got two guys who played football. I got Wolo as my defensive coordinator, and let's be honest, I love to second guess, but I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I've been studying these plays today and trying to figure it out, and I'm just trying to figure out which ones are run and which ones are pass.
Well, yeah, let me just help you. You're not going to figure it out. All right.
How many series did you have last year when you did this?
I think we had maybe. See, I was both my offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator.
Well, that's the problem. I got to trust Wolo, and I don't.
Trust Wolo? I have confidence in Wolo as a defensive coordinator.
You don't trust Wolo?
I trust Wolo.
No, I do too.
No, I don't trust Wolo. I think he's gonna. I think he's gonna. No, I think he's gonna break. I think he's gonna bend and break.
Hey, would you rather?
That's what she said.
Would you rather have Wolo as your defensive coordinator, or any of the past Memphis defensive coordinators as your defensive coordinator?
I'm just joking around a little bit. I just like people to remember that at this point the defense is always ahead of the offense at this stage, and anyway, I got my play sheet. I did think I lost it. You left yours in the studio last year.
I left it.
Norvell gives me the play sheet and says, do not under any circumstances lose this.
Right.
And I remembered, you left yours in the studio.
Yeah, but I lose, I lost.
But this is top secret.
I lost an $800 Apple Watch. I lose stuff all the time.
Well, that's fine, but this is not yours to lose. This is their top secret information.
Okay.
But I
re-secured it, and I still have it to this day.
I was talking to Jeffrey about this, by the way, and he said, here's what you do. You got to look and watch and see if there's, if the safeties are up or back. And I'm thinking, I don't have time. Like, that's not how it works. Like, I don't get the audible.
Let me call
my play.
Right.
And then they're lined up where they line up, and I don't get to change because the safeties are up or back, do I? I don't think so.
In all seriousness, I've had a couple of experiences like this where you don't realize something until you're doing it, and then you're like, go ahead.
That's what she said.
And then you're
that is definitely what she said. And then you're like, what?
And then you're like, whoa, this is way faster than I
thought. That's what she said. That's what she said.
Right.
One
exactly.
One is when I went out to Millington and I got in a race car and I drove a race car. Did you ever go do that?
Oh yeah, those race cars. I've done that. It's crazy.
Every year, and there's not a freaking prayer. You could die.
So I went out there, and it's funny because everybody puts on their uniform, their big. I guess it's a uniform. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's a suit. Yeah, it's a fire suit.
You put on your suit. You got your fire suit.
It's their flame retardant suit.
Yeah, fire.
In case you go up in flames.
Right.
And what's funny is,
like my offense,
there's always this one person who thinks he's about to break the track record.
Oh no,
right?
I know.
And that person will ask the main guy, the instructor. He'd be like, "Well, how fast can we go?
I go?
And how fast are we allowed to go?
Yeah.
And the guy goes, "Go as fast as you want, but you'll go slower than you think, because it's scary. it feels like you're going a million miles an hour and you're really going 95. It's scary. And so you're never going as fast as – so you have no appreciation just watching NASCAR what it's like to actually be in the car and really be going at those speeds. You would – if they told you, I will give you $500,000 if you can break this speed, whatever the speed is, you'd go, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then you'd get close. You'd be like, I got to slow down. This is crazy. This is insane. All right? So there's that. And then the other thing, and I promise this is how it ties together – you have no appreciation for how quickly you have to make these decisions in the middle of a football game. That's why I'm always understanding of, like, coaches making questionable play calls, because you are really having to – it's one on top of another. Go ahead.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
That too.
And that's the best bit of advice Mike gave me before I did it. He was like, just get your play – even if it's the wrong play – get it in quickly. Mm-hmm. Otherwise,
that's what she
you're
said.
Going to be in a bad spot. And so that would be my advice, is just be definitive.
Did you strategize at all? Did you strategize? Did you think about the order of the plays at all? Because I have not yet, but I still have a little few minutes.
Here's exactly what I did. Because by the time, mine was maybe 3 years ago when I did this. It was Anthony Miller's sophomore year, maybe. But by the time we got to the part where I was calling plays, they pull all the starters. Like, I'm not calling plays.
No, starters are gone. Right. Yeah.
So I got Anthony Miller with me, and Anthony Miller called my plays. That's the truth. Anthony Miller knew
really?
All the plays. Yeah, I had Anthony Miller. I've identified him as my co-offensive coordinator that night.
I'm going to get Brady as my co-offensive coordinator.
Yes. Get somebody who actually understands something and just get them to help. Like, Anthony Miller actually said, because the way my play sheet was, it was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah. So you really just have to say 8. And then what the coaches do is translate 8 into what the actual play call is, and then the players know what they're doing. But they don't want you making the actual play call because you.
No, I know that. I said, like, I'm ordered off a menu where you point at what you want.
It's like you're ordering a lunch menu at a Mexican restaurant.
Right.
Like,
I'll have number six.
Number six. It's exactly what you're doing. And so Anthony Miller was like, run play 4. That's going to get a touchdown. I was like, cool. 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. And then they translate it to whatever. And then we scored a touchdown. That's the way it worked.
Yeah. So you want to hear it? We want to hear a sad story.
A man
coping with handicap. My son Peter is I don't know why I thought of this. My son Peter is legally blind, but he's not really blind. Like, you wouldn't know, really, except for, like, one of the things he can't do is he can't see the menus. Right, but he can't see the menus at a fast food restaurant. Right, so when he goes there, because that's too far away. So when he goes there with a buddy. Like, the buddy will order the 6, and he'll say, I'll get the 6. He'll assume that that's, like, a good thing. And that's what he does. Because he don't want to have someone read the menu to him, you know?
No, I totally get that. You know,
he just says, I'll get the 6. And I just hope it's, like, the kid isn't some kind of a vegetarian who got the protein burger.
Just hoping the kid didn't want the fish filet for some reason, right? That same kind of story is the origin of the Coaching for Literacy Foundation. You know, Jonathan Wilfong was playing on a summer basketball team, and he's obviously from the suburbs. You know, he was born into a different set of circumstances than a lot of the people he played basketball with. That would probably be the case in any year in Memphis when you're taking the best basketball players from around the area. And what he noticed is that he had a teammate. Every time they went to lunch or dinner, the teammate would point to something on the menu, point to a picture, like the waitress would be like, so what will you have? And he would just point to this thing because he could not read them. They noticed he's always ordering a picture. He'll order different things at different restaurants, but it's always a picture. So, like, at one restaurant, he might get chicken fingers because there was a picture of chicken fingers. And at the other restaurant, there's also chicken fingers, but there wasn't a picture of chicken fingers. There was only a picture of a hamburger. So he would order a hamburger. And they'd be like, well, why didn't he order chicken fingers at the other? Why did he order? Because he just orders the picture. And that's what prompted them to start working with him quietly and from that became Coaching for Literacy. But that is what they noticed. He had to order. It's sort of the same thing. He didn't just order what somebody else ordered. He just ordered a picture and pointed to it. So
it's a good story.
It is a good story. Talking to Jeff Coggins here, 92.9 FM ESPN. So anybody want to watch Jeff Coggins make his coaching debut? That's tonight at Liberty Bowl Memorial Stadium. It's Doc Holliday and Jarvis Greer against Jeff Coggins and Dave Woloshin. The Grizzlies, the ping pong balls bounced today. And, well, you know what? We'll get to that in a second. I want to talk to you first about this. Did you meet with Jason Wexler today?
Did. Yep.
And
Zach Lehman. Yep.
Yep. And I've seen audio clips of both of them on Twitter. Mike Sadie tweeted one where they both acknowledge that they did think this through and that quite clearly it didn't unfold yesterday the way that they envisioned it unfolding or wanted it to unfold. And I don't think I heard either one of them, and perhaps they did with you, actually say the words, if we could do it over, we would do it differently. But certainly the implication is they know they screwed up, and if they could do it over, they would do it differently. Is that what you gathered as well?
No.
Really? No?
No. No. What I gathered was, they said in retrospect, it didn't. I'll be honest, they thought that they did the right thing.
That's insane then.
They're sorry that it worked out messily, right? They're sorry that it was messy. This is what they said. So exactly what I said the other day. We had a choice of either putting, we tried to have an innocuous press conference where two guys would have to go out and just answer innocuous questions. And we thought of all the situations, there's no good way to do this, but we thought that was better to have two guys who had to go out and do questions and that they would later look foolish for than to have 15 people have to deal with awkward questions. And so in our situation, we thought that was the best. And the problem was we didn't know that Chris Wallace was going to say what he said. So knowing that, that Chris Wallace went rogue, that's not what they said exactly, but the way it played out, and by the way it played out, what they mean is because Chris Wallace said, yes, he's coming back, therefore, we didn't know that was going to happen. Like, there's a quote, hang on. Looking at it, because it was in my phone. There's a quote in there that says something about that wasn't our choice at the Daily Memphian in our meeting with him. And what they mean is it wasn't their choice to say Bickerstaff is coming back. And so because he did what he did, that's what made it messy. That's what their view is. And I just completely disagree.
I do too. That's wrong. They're just wrong if they think that. The whole thing,
right.
Even if Chris Wallace, when asked, is J.B. Bickerstaff coming back, said, you know what?
We haven't had our meetings yet. Yeah. I'm really impressed. We have to meet with Robert or whatever else.
Right. Even if he said,
would have made no difference
whatsoever. I'll be honest with you. That is disappointing because if they would acknowledge, oh, geez, yes, we didn't think it would go down that way, but it went down that way, and my God, with the benefit of hindsight.
Well, they do acknowledge that because they say we didn't think Wallace would say that. I mean, that's their implication is that they didn't. Don't say that directly.
Here's the quote from the Daily Memphian. It's hard to say we did it in retrospect, but at the same time, I think if we would have chosen a different path, it would have been problematic in a different way.
Not in a different way, but in a lesser way.
They didn't say lesser. They just mean they would need their no. Because I asked them. I said, do you think you did it the right way? And that was the answer they gave. They do not think they did it the wrong way.
Well, then they're wrong because they quite clearly did.
Think it turned out the wrong way because Chris said what he said.
No, even if
they
Chris
did not think they did what they the wrong way.
No.
Now, I will say, I'm also, having said that, I'm interested in it, and I think they're wrong. I think there's bigger fish to fry now. You know, I do. Like, I don't, that's one day. I'm going to disagree till the end of time. I don't think they did it right, and I don't think they did it right even if Chris Wallace had said exactly what he was supposed to have said. It's just not the way anyone does it. It's disgraceful. And, in fact, my view of it is, I've really thought about this some more. Although they say they were protecting the players, it at least had the convenient side effect of protecting them because they didn't have to face the media and explain why they were doing what they were doing, and they didn't have to hear the players, most of whom like Bickerstaff, say, God, I can't believe they fired J.B. Bickerstaff. They didn't have to deal with that. They might have been protecting the players, and I believe that. Like, I don't think they lie. You know, I think that was – maybe how they rationalized it to themselves or thought about it. But at least one of the happy side effects from their perspective is it protected them. And so I think there were a lot of things that were encouraging with our meeting today. And I'm not hung up on this thing. Like, I've written a column mostly. It's not up quite yet. But I put in one paragraph about this thing. I think it was one bad decision and one bad day. But they did not say, oh, God, we're sorry. We really blew that. You know, if we did it again, we would have told them before.
If they
did not say that.
Well, first off, like, the whole protecting the players thing is just silly. NBA coaches get fired in the middle of a season all the time, and the players got to show up tomorrow for a game, and they all have to answer these questions. Like, the idea that these professional basketball players can't answer questions about the termination of a coach and the reassignment of a general manager is just silly. It happens all the time. All the time. I mean, every time a coach is fired in the middle of a
season. I'm just telling you. I mean, I don't have that quote in front of me. I can look it up. He said, we had a choice of either having two people, having them whatever, or having 15 players have to answer awkward questions, and we decided to do that.
I mean,
I'm telling you, that's the philosophy.
I hear what you're saying. I'm telling you, that's just still wrong. It's just completely wrong. And the problem wasn't that Chris Wallace said, yes, J.B. Bickerstaff's coming back. Even if he would have said what...
I will say that made it worse that he said so affirmatively he's coming back. That did make it worse.
It did make it worse.
You know what it did? It made the organization look worse in the sense of, what the hell are they doing, right? But the organization would have looked cruel and classless either way, right? They wouldn't have looked quite as flip-floppy, but they would have looked like you just humiliated two people that you didn't need to either way.
If Chris Wallace didn't, if he simply said, when asked about JB, said, listen, we haven't had our meetings yet. I've seen a lot of good things from JB. That's ultimately not only my decision. And so we will talk about everything going forward, but we haven't had those meetings yet. Even if he said that, and then an hour and a half later, JB's fired and he's reassigned, it would have looked just as ridiculous that they sent. Let's just take two examples elsewhere in the NBA. The Sacramento Kings fired Dave Yeager yesterday morning. They knew they were going to do it. They went ahead and did it. They didn't send him out there for exit interviews and have him conduct player interviews and then fire him, because that would have been ridiculous. And then meantime, the Lakers knew they were going to fire Luke Walton. So you know how the Lakers exit interviews went? Did you see those?
No.
You want to know why you didn't see them? Because they didn't happen. The Lakers said, we're not going to have Luke Walton, LeBron James, Rob Pelinka, anybody. None of these people are made available. Because they didn't want to create exactly
what... Well, in fairness, that is against... That, you're getting fined for that. Like, you're not allowed to do that. I mean, this is to their fairness. You're not allowed to not have these. These are mandated by the league. So it's not like for funsies, they do these. These are mandated by the league. There's a reason that everyone does them, and everyone does them the day after the season. It's because they're mandated by the league.
But the Lakers, my point is this.
Well, I don't know what the hell the Lakers would say. I mean, whatever. Maybe they get fined or whatever. But, like, they are mandated. These are not, but yeah, this is not a voluntary exercise.
All I'm telling you is the Lakers did not make Luke Walton available. They didn't trot him out there like he's the head coach of the Lakers and then fire him an hour later.
Well, I mean, I don't know how they get out of that, but maybe, you know, maybe there will be repercussions or whatever. But you're not. I mean, I will tell you that they felt trapped in that sense. They didn't think that was an option not to do it.
Right, but even
and I think it's because the league says you have to do it, and so in that regard, I'm not like that part. I'm not. If they were following league regulations, and I swear I think they were, the Lakers may have just flouted it. They should have fired him first. We went over this yesterday, and they could have come out. Like, they're pretty good. Like talking about this, I talked to them both today. I talked to Zach, and I talked to Jason. And they, when you start to hear and think about what they say they want to do, which is to have – what they basically say is that, listen, this team has been reactive for a long time, and we've been situational thinkers as opposed to strategic thinkers. And by that, it's just think about it. It's every time just grabbing a little to the little, you know, whatever it gives you, whether it's trying to be mediocre this year by putting together the roster you put together, or whether it's trying to go get Jeff Green for number one, or whether it's like they don't think long term. They just think about, how do we get through this season? How do we get through this playoff series? How do we do that? Like, and they, and we need to think bigger picture, more strategically, be cleaner about what we do, have better processes.
That's what she said.
I think a lot of what they say is absolutely right. And so if they had gotten up and said that before the cameras yesterday, if they had put down a table for themselves as opposed to a table for JB and Chris, this whole thing would have turned out differently. But I will also say this. We put up a poll on our show today. Do you fundamentally like what happened yesterday with the Grizzlies? 70% said yes. So I listened to your show,
and every caller, like that, the poll was pretty, you have to vote one of these things. When you ask callers today, are they happy Chris Wallace is no longer the general manager? They said yes. Are you happy J.B. Bickerstaff's?
I said, all things considered, are you happy with what happened yesterday?
I know, but I'm telling you, from listening to the callers on your show and from watching on social media, basically everybody is happy JB's no longer the coach. Everybody is happy Chris Wallace is no longer the GM. And basically everybody said, but the way they went about it was insane.
And some people say, I don't care that they did it because Wallace. There's no one who thinks it's a classy way to handle JB Bickerstaff. There's nobody who thinks that. And I suspect at some point JB Bickerstaff will make that clear that he wasn't pleased with it either. I don't know where on what kind of an outlet, but I think that's true. And so to me, though, here's to me what the thing that I don't like about it the most is that what they're supposed to be in the new administration is good process to make. You know, they have good processes and good decision makers, and yet the first decision was not well thought out. And so that is worrisome to me. And then the second thing is they're supposed to, and this is, I think, key, and they both say this. They say, we know what we don't know, right? They have humility about the basketball side of things, right? Jason Wexler will say, I'm not going to walk into a gym and say player A is better than player B. And Zach Kleiman says, I will walk into a gym and say player A is better than player B. That is his role. He is the personnel guy. But they both said, we know what we don't know, and we know where we need bolstering, right? And we know what we – and yet I have to say, in the way that they have defended this decision, I don't think they have acknowledged that they know what they don't know. I don't think there's been a lot of humility about this decision or the reaction to the decision, because I think they fundamentally think they did it right, and they will always think they did it right. They will think that they did it right, and it went awry when – Chris Wallace said that he said.
Except, and again, we're going back and back and back.
We're going over it 10 different times.
Yeah,
right.
But, like, I heard Jason today say it didn't go the way we thought it was going to go. And I'm assuming what he means by that is we didn't expect Chris Wallace to go out there and definitively say J.B. Bickerstaff's coming back. And so, I get that. But even if J.B. wouldn't have said that, to have J.B. Bickerstaff conduct player interviews and then fire him like an hour later is a terrible look. And to have Chris Wallace talking about the future of the franchise and then fire him an hour later is a terrible look. And it would have been a terrible look no matter what JB said or no matter what Chris Wallace said.
I agree with all of that.
And I don't understand why
you could have also, by the way, instructed him, said you're going to be asked about JB under no circumstances. This is what you need to say. You need to say, we haven't met with Robert Perry yet. We evaluate everybody at the end of the year.
Right.
And Chris Wallace would have said that.
Right.
I mean, if they really were, you know, they didn't anticipate Chris Wallace would say what he said, but they could have prevented him from saying what he said by making it clear he shouldn't.
Sure. I understand it didn't go the way they thought it would go, given what Chris said, but how did you think it was going to go to fire two men an hour after they're speaking on behalf of the franchise and about their futures with the franchise?
Right.
How did you think?
There's literally no way. You know what it is? They just honestly they didn't have much respect for the process of the media there. Like they said this could be innocuous, you know, and then we'll do what we do, you know, and it just doesn't. We'll go through this innocuous thing, and people will give stupid little problem quotes, and then we'll make the decision we make, and we don't have to deal with the thing. We don't have to deal with it or whatever, as they say. We don't have to get 15 players facing these awkward questions. But be upfront. I mean, I do agree there's no easy way out. I do agree with that. I think that's right. None of this is easy, and it's all going to be messy. It's just going to be messy in different ways. And this is what Chris Harrington, he said.
That's what she said.
They picked the wrong kind of messy. It was going to be messy either way, right? They just picked the wrong one, and I think that's true.
Talking to Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Switching gears, the ping pong balls did bounce today, and the Grizzlies are slotted eighth, which means there's a 68.8% chance they will either pick in the top four or convey the pick to Boston, or still a 31.2% chance that they're going to pick eighth, which would be the nightmare scenario. The ping pong balls did not bounce the Grizzlies' way today. They did not, right?
Well, no, but you could argue they bounced better than if they'd been seventh. I think my eighth is better than seventh. Don't you?
Eighth is better than seventh based on all of the conversations we've had previous.
Yeah. So they didn't win, but it wasn't the worst scenario. As you said, I mean, listen, I think everyone is fatalistic when it comes to the Grizzlies. So people assume the worst is going to happen at the end of eighth. But the odds say that on lottery night, Grizzlies fans should be happy. They should be happy because they'll either convey the pick and fall to ninth. The odds are that one of two things will happen. They'll jump up into the top four, or they will fall to ninth.
Well,
the odds are they should be happy.
Okay, Leon, let me walk you through this. Clearly, if the options are convey the pick or pick first, you want to pick first. Get Zion Williamson, you change your franchise overnight. It's a gift from God.
Yep.
What if the options are convey the pick or pick second? What do you want?
Clearly, you want to pick.
I think you want to pick, and you're taking John Morant. What if it's convey the pick or pick third?
I still think you probably want to pick.
I still think you probably want to pick. What if it's pick fourth or convey the pick?
Yeah, I think that's a close one. I think you can talk yourself into it. There is no guarantee that let's say the worst thing happens and the Grizzlies have to convey an unprotected pick in 2 years, right? At worst, the Grizzlies will be, let's even say they're last in the league, right? At worst, the Grizzlies will be, but they would still have to then lose the lottery. So in order to give up something worse than the fourth pick of this year, they would have to really stink in 2 years, and the odds aren't long against them really stinking, right? And then they'd have to do bad, and then they'd have to, you know, and they'd have to win the lottery, and then they have to do really well in the lottery. And it's hard to do really well in the lottery. Like the odds are flattened now, so that like the number one team doesn't have a great chance of ending up with a number one pick. So even if the worst team in the league, plus I do think there's something to be said for getting a good player, even if it's not a great player, as quickly as possible to put around Jaren. Now, I don't know who we're looking at fourth. Who are we thinking about at fourth? If R.J. Barrett's third, who's fourth?
It's Darius Garland, DeAndre Hunter, Jarrett Culver, those kinds of names.
Maybe it doesn't. Maybe fourth you want to convey. Yeah. I think you might want to convey. That feels like the same basket of players you'll get at eighth, right? There's no difference. I mean, there is a difference because you should have a priority. You should like four, whoever you would pick at four better than eight. But they're the same. They're the same group, right? Once you get past three, you think four through whatever are the same?
I've got guys I prefer over other guys. Here's what I think. I think there are five players that are definitely going to go in the top seven. That they're just going to be off the board no matter what if you're picking eighth. And that's Zion Williamson, John Morant, R.J. Barrett, Darius Garland, DeAndre Hunter. Those five. Those five are not going to be available at eight. I would bet anything on. But Jarrett Culver could. Kobe White could. Romeo Langford could. Nasir Little could. Anybody else could theoretically be available.
Which of those guys do you like? How do you feel about Kobe White? I don't mind Kobe White.
I got Kobe White going seventh. And he wasn't even supposed to be a one-and-done player. But a 6'5 point guard.
Neither was Mike Conley.
I know, right? But a 6'5 point guard who is an explosive scorer. The thing about Kobe White coming into college is he was a 6'5 combo guard. That's what everybody thought.
But now he's a point guard.
Now he's a 6'5 point guard. Like Roy turned him into a point guard, or Roy allowed him to become what he was always going to become. Either way, it enhanced his draft status tremendously. And so, no, I don't. If the Grizzlies end up with Kobe White, I'll be happy. The only one, and I talked about this early in the show, the only one in that range I don't want him touching is Cam Reddish. I heard bad things about Cam Reddish at the Final
Really?
Four. Yeah.
Bad attitude things?
Just, like, where's his heart at? Does he love it? I don't think he loves it. Like, that kind of stuff. And by the way, he shot, like, 33% from the field and 33% from three-point range on the season. When Zion's drawing all the double teams, like, you should be able to get open shot after open shot. He couldn't make anything. So a guy who shot terrible percentages and people I know who know him question whether he loves basketball, don't pick him. I let somebody else make that mistake. Now watch, he's going to go be an NBA All-Star.
Right.
All right. Have fun tonight. Let me know. I'll be watching on Twitter. Here's my rule. If you win, tweet about it. If you don't, just ignore it.
Oh, that's no. There's no question about that.
Yep.
There's no question about it. I'm absolutely going to ignore it. I assume I'll be ignoring it. You will not hear a tweet out of me.
All right, I'll see you. That's Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. So, according to Calkins, the way things played out yesterday is not the way the Grizzlies anticipated them playing out, and they regret that. But if they were going to hit rewind and go back and do it again, they would do it the same way. In other words, they would send Chris Wallace and J.B. Bickerstaff out there to talk to the media. They would have J.B. Bickerstaff conduct player interviews, and then they would fire him a couple of hours later. Is that what you would do if you could do it over? It ain't what I would have done if I did it the first time. I made that clear yesterday. And it sure as hell, if it was my initial mistake, it's not what I'd do again tomorrow. You want to talk about it? If you want to try to convince me otherwise, I'll listen to you. 535-3776-535-ESPN. Talk to you right after this break.
Grizzlies full off-season coverage.
You have to have zero people skills and zero PR skills to think that this is the way you do things. At least in Sacramento, another dysfunctional franchise, they understand that you fire Dave Yeager before you send Dave Yeager out on a Thursday afternoon to talk to everybody. You can argue that they're being dumb for firing Dave Yeager. Pretty easy case to make, but at least they fired him in a way that makes some sense.
The Memphis Grizzlies on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
SleepyZZZS.com. 538 Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Talking Grizzlies in that last segment with Jeff Calkins. I told you I'd talk it with you. We'll start with Rob in East Memphis. Rob, it's Gary. What's up with it?
Hey, Gary, first of all, I really like your show, and I really like when you do the coverage on the Grizzlies a whole bunch. I'm going to offer you a thought.
Okay.
Here's just a thought, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this was handled like a basketball team would handle it. I think this was handled like corporate America handles stuff. And I say that because if you look at how this was all walked through and walked out and, you know, sending Chris and JB out there, in a lot of cases, corporate America would do this. I don't know that I'd see. And Robert Pera, what the heck? He has a corporation, a large company. And he seems to run the basketball team like he runs a company instead of a basketball team. So this doesn't surprise me. I don't know that I'm going to convince you that it's right. I'm not saying it's right. But I think that's how he's elected to handle it.
No, I think you touch on, I appreciate your call, Rob. I think you touch on a few interesting things there. And I think you might be right, if not probably right. The only thing I would contend is that though an NBA franchise is a big business, just like Ubiquiti is a big business, you do not run sports franchises the same way you run businesses in traditional corporate America because, FedEx doesn't have fans per se. You know, like if a CEO gets fired or what, nobody even really knows, you know, basketball teams, particularly basketball teams in markets where people care so deeply about them, they have to be run in a different way because everything is so public. And, my point since 4 o'clock yesterday has been pretty simple there. I agree with Jason Wexler that there was no easy way to do what it is they were going to do yesterday. But I think they picked the worst way. He thinks they picked the best of the bad ways. And I think they picked the worst way. Trotting Chris Wallace out there and J.B. Bickerstaff out there to speak on behalf of the franchise when you knew they weren't going to be a part of the franchise within a few hours is just awful. And having J.B. Bickerstaff conduct player interviews with players he's no longer going to coach, I mean, that really makes no sense whatsoever. I got a text from an agent last night, somebody who represents players and coaches. He said this is why they're the laughing stock of the NBA.
Yeah.
So that's just where Jason and I disagree. I'm glad Jason's in this role. I think he's a smart guy. I consider him a friend. I want him to do great things. I'll be rooting like crazy. I just think that we just fundamentally disagree on this one. Let's go to Charlie. Charlie, it's Gary. How you doing?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm awesome, man. I appreciate you calling.
Yeah, I've been listening to the whole station for the past 2 days. I'm not in. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not in corporation. I'm a single person. I work for myself. I drive. I'm probably what the backbone is of this city. But the problem I see with this is not what they've done, as you say, how they went about it. I'm going to make it simpler. Out of them two guys, neither one of them are showing a backbone to stand up and face the music. And that's what we need here, because in the past, nobody knows who they talk to, who's doing the dealing, who's not. We need a stand-up man with the backbone and a couple of other things, be the face. And, you know, if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. Be man enough to own up to it.
I think that's good advice. I appreciate it, Charlie. And that's what I honestly thought would happen today, is that they would just say, hey, you know, we did think this through, and we went with what we thought was the best bad option. And then, yeah, with the benefit of hindsight, I wish we would have handled it differently. I do that all the time in my own life, by the way.
Yep.
Like, hey, I did think it through. I thought I was doing the right thing. And then with the benefit of the hindsight, it's clear. Like, I should have handled that situation differently, done that differently. I think the ability to acknowledge, like, if I had a rewind button, I'd push it and do that differently is a great attribute. And that's what, honestly, that's what I thought would happen today. And they acknowledged it didn't go down the way they thought it would go down, but did not, according to Jeff Calkins at least, and I'll take him at his word, did not acknowledge that they shouldn't have done it the way that they did it. They just think it happened to go the wrong way on them, as opposed to it was always going to go this way on them when this is the plan that they put into place. Let's go to Kenzie and Byhalia. Kenzie, it's Gary. How you doing?
Doing good, GP. How you doing?
I'm awesome, brother. Appreciate you calling.
Thank you, long-time listener. I just had a couple of questions on the situation. The first one was, the two new guys, will they have to learn on the job, or do they know just about what to do? And the second question is, were they there when Chris Wallace or whoever was making the decisions in the past couple of years? Because it seemed like a previous caller just said you can't really judge who's making the decision, because nobody's coming out saying, well, I made this decision.
Right. Kenzie, I appreciate the call. I'll answer that. Jason's been here longer than Zach. They're both relatively new in their roles. Obviously, like, they're a day old in their roles. And, yes, I think they'll have to learn on the jobs. But guess what? All of us have to learn on the jobs. I promise you, when I first got my job at CBS, I didn't know what I was doing. I'm not the same columnist today that I was in 2006, the day that I got hired. I wasn't the same columnist in 2007 that I was in 2006. Same thing with the radio show. And I'm not trying to pretend I got it all figured out now, but I'm not the same person I was the first day I ever did a radio show. Same thing with television. I'm not the same person I was first time I started doing television. If I don't care how successful or talented you are, if you get a new job that you've never had before, you're going to have to learn on the job. Some people learn better than others, and some people never learn. So, yes, I think Zach and Jason both will have to learn on the job. But the amazing qualities that they have, or at least the good point place to start, is they're both obviously and undeniably smart and sharp guys. Like, I'll always side with smart people, and I'll always give smart people the benefit of the doubt. Even if these smart people, in my opinion at least, made a terrible mistake yesterday in implementing the plan that they implemented, not in reassigning Chris Wallace or reassigning John Hollinger or firing J.B. Bickerstaff. I can get down with all that. I got no issues with that. I only have issues with the way they went about doing it. And I have issue now with the fact that they don't seem to acknowledge that we really did not do this the right way. But they're both smart guys, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. A, because I want them to succeed, but B, because smart people usually do, and they're smart guys, and they'll learn on the job, but smart people tend to learn pretty well. Let's go to Tony in Olive Branch. Tony, what's up?
Hey, I love the Grizzlies, and I'm going to continue being a fan. I'm always going to be a fan. I love all things Memphis, but one of the things that bothers me is that we're not taking something into account here. What if they went into this meeting with the intentions of keeping JB? What if he said something he shouldn't have said?
I can just stop you there, and I've had other people bring that up, and it's a perfectly reasonable thing while we're just tossing out ideas to assume. So I'm not trying to say, that's crazy. I can just tell you that's not what happened. They knew yesterday morning. They knew Wednesday night. They were firing J.B. Bickerstaff. They were reassigning Chris Wallace. They were reassigning John Holler. This isn't something that happened on the fly yesterday. They knew what they were going to do.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that that's not the way it played out. You know? I mean, I'm hoping that it is, you know, that he It just something came up, and they couldn't keep it.
Yeah, I appreciate your call, Tony. I had somebody on Twitter like suggest that maybe no, this is really went down as the way it's been explained. They and they acknowledge this, by the way, Jason and Zach both. They decided that in their opinion yesterday morning that the best of bad options was to let Chris handle the exit interviews as normal, let JB handle the exit interviews as he normally would, and then after all the cameras were gone, then do what it is they were already going to do, which is fire JB, reassign Chris, and reassign John Hollinger. And their rationalization for it is that, and this is all on the record stuff, is that the alternative to doing it that way was to fire your coach, reassign your general manager, reassign John Hollinger, and then you've got all your entire roster having to answer questions about it. And they didn't want to put the entire roster through that. So that's the rationalization. That's the way they explain it. And I just fundamentally disagree. I think the better option is obviously don't send Chris out there to look like an idiot. Don't send JB out there to look like an idiot. And if Mike Conley has to spend 25 minutes answering questions about JB Bickerstaff being fired and Chris Wallace being re-signed, well, Mike Conley's a big boy. He can do it. Mike Conley's had to answer questions about coaches being fired before, about front office people being reassigned before. He's had to answer questions about his own future with the Grizzlies when it was publicly known that they were shopping him to the rest of the NBA. Like I think Mike Conley could handle yesterday just fine, and Dillon Brooks as well, and even Jaren Jackson at such a young age, I think he'd been fine. Again, players have to answer questions like that in the NBA all the time. Ty Lue got fired in Cleveland in the middle of the season. The Cavaliers players had to show up the next day and answer the same types of questions the Grizzlies would have spent yesterday answering. It ain't that big of a deal. You're not really protecting the players from anything. It's not that big of a deal. But what you did do is you made Chris Wallace look like a fool. You made JB Bickerstaff look like a fool. No fault of their own. And you can think whatever you want to think about either of those guys and whether they deserve their jobs. They didn't deserve to go through that. And then beyond that, what message does it send to your players when you've got a coach sitting down with them one-on-one, talking about what he expects from them this summer, what he expects from them next season, and then the players find out an hour later, that ain't my coach anymore. Why did you just make me sit? Imagine Brad sits me down with, I don't know, somebody here and says, hey, I want you to talk to this person about his future with the franchise. And then I talk to him for an hour, and then an hour later, Brad says, okay, I fired that guy. Well, then, Brad, why did you make me sit down and talk to that guy for an hour?
I would not do that.
It's a complete waste of time. Why did you do that?
Right.
Again, just nonsensical. I don't know. I thought this immediately yesterday. That's why I did 2 hours on it yesterday. And I thought for sure they would, in their own way, come back today and just be like, we made a bad choice. But they don't seem to be there, which is weird to me.
One other point that the caller made was the fact that they're looking for somebody to be a spokesperson for the franchise, because Robert is obviously not that. It would have been an opportunity, too, to go, here I am. And yes, we just made this decision, and that's the first thing you start with right at the beginning of the day.
If you put me in charge of it, here's what I would have said you do. You fire Chris Wallace. You reassign Chris Wallace yesterday morning.
Right.
You fire JB Bickerstaff yesterday morning. You reassign John Hollinger yesterday morning. You promote Zach Kleiman yesterday morning. You promote Jason Wexler yesterday morning.
Yep.
You send out the exact same press release that you sent out yesterday afternoon at 9 a.m.
Yep.
And then you show up for exit interviews first, 30 minutes prior, you sit down with your team as the new president of basketball.
That's right.
And you talk to them in the locker room, like conversations happen in sports franchises all the time. And then Jason Wexler walks out instead of Chris Wallace, and he gets in front of the cameras, and that becomes the day where it's very clear this is the new face and voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. We are headed in a new direction. And people rally around that because, A, they rally around anybody other than Chris Wallace at this point.
Yep.
And, B, people want to believe in Jason Wexler. And, C, he's going to sound smart.
He's good.
Because he is smart.
Yep.
And it would have been a day of, I don't know about celebration, but a day of, we got something new to believe in, let's move forward. Instead, it turned into that. And I don't know why the people who actually made the decision didn't understand in advance that it turned it that doing it their way was going to result in what it resulted in, and doing it the way I just laid out would have resulted in an entirely different/better thing. But whatever, it's done, and probably by Monday we'll be over it completely. Plus, Tiger's making a run at the Masters. We'll be back with dinner.
Baseball is back. and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Ryan, Office Park on the web, coopersystems.com. If you're in the market for a computer, high-end, low-end, middle-of-the-road, a Mac, a PC, whatever you're after, Lee and Lauren Cooper can get it for you. You just have to call them, 360-9679, 360-9679. The process really should be this simple. Tell them what it is you're going to do with the computer. Like, are you shooting music videos for Moneybag, or are you simply, like, playing around on Facebook and YouTube? Because those are two different kinds of computers. You don't want to buy the music video computer if you're just going to be messing around on Facebook. You're wasting tons of money because you're buying the type of computer that you're never going to need. So you tell them, Lee and Lauren Cooper, hey, this is what I'm going to be doing. They'll say, okay, well, then this is the kind of computer you need. It'll be better suited for you, and if it's better suited for you, it's going to be better priced for you. People go to the big box stores all the time and make a big mistake, and that's paying for a computer worth way more than the computer they actually need. It's got stuff on it they don't even know that it's there. We'll never use it in a million years. Don't make that mistake. Go to Cooper Systems. Mount Moriah Office Park on the web, coopersystems.com, coopersystems.com. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, but I want to use this part of Dinner to Go to catch up on the Masters, because Tiger Woods is now 6-under with 2 to play. Just one shot off the lead. It is at least possible at this moment. Tiger Woods is going to be a co-leader heading into the third round of the Masters, maybe even the outright leader heading into the third round of the Masters. So that is awesome for CBS, America's Most Watched Network.
What's the biggest game tonight?
It's the Mets and Braves, SunTrust Park, Cumberland, Georgia. Mets won game one of the series last night, 6-3. Pete Alonso, the GOAT, with a massive home run. Ronald Acuna also had a massive home run. Fun game. Mets are 8-4 now. Braves are 7-5. Mets, first place in NL East standings right now. Atlanta minus 110 tonight. Totals 9. First pitch 6:20. You can watch it on Fox Sports Ohio.
What should I watch on TV?
Do we have time for Dateline or not, Brad?
Not
I'm going to let
really.
You make this call.
We don't.
Is well, there anything
I... Sorry. Go ahead. What else can we watch?
No, we're watching Dateline, dumbass. What else do you... It's Friday night.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
We're watching Dateline at 9 o'clock. Keith Morrison, the GOAT, is hosting. You being dismissive like this is why...
I'm not being dismissive, but just the clock is running
this
out.
This has got you in trouble. This has got you in trouble already.
What's on tap next week?
I don't know. I'll talk to you then. Be careful, be kind, be good, rep your hood.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.